Hello, I'm Tom Weber. Thanks for listening to NPR News here on the radio or online or on our podcast. Coming up, the effort to get work visas renewed. We'll talk about that. And later, tis the season in Minnesota, apple season. We will chew over some of the new apples, literally, being designed at the University of Minnesota. But first, in the wake of the devastation of Hurricane Maria, I'm joined now by Minnesota State Senator Melissa Franzen. She was born in Puerto Rico and grew up there and has family there. The island took a direct hit this week when Maria came ashore as a Category 4 hurricane. There are reports now the island will be out without power for months. Crews had been working to restore power after Hurricane Irma knocked out much of the island, and then Maria made a much more direct hit. And in fact, Senator, welcome and thank you for being here. You were just there this week or last week?
Thank you, Tom. I actually flew in last Thursday and came back on Tuesday, one of the last flights that left the San Juan airport before they shut down.
What are you hearing from family and friends back on the island?
Nothing.
Literally?
Literally nothing.
Well, that's jarring.
Mm-hmm.
You told Fox News that you were doing a spin class or something and you almost...
Trying to deal with the stress, but there's no way that you can stop thinking about hearing about your family. I'm sure they're fine, but I have members of my family, like my grandmother who's 94, who's on oxygen and lives in a remote part of the island, in the middle of the island in San Sebastian, and there's no communication there, and she needs medical assistance, like a lot of Puerto Ricans who are elderly there and, you know, not having infrastructure to get to where you need to go in case of an emergency or not having the medicine you need. It's really devastating and really catastrophic what I'm seeing on Facebook, which has been the medium of communication that I've been able to at least communicate with fellow folks from Puerto Rico who live outside.
Has anyone heard anything that you've talked to here in Minnesota?
Not from my side of the where my parents live. No, that entire area up until today has been not even been able to communicate with the local government, not even with the governor's office. Those municipalities are still without cell towers, without contact, but there is immediate help to start getting the communication towers back on track.
Is that the west side of the island?
The west side.
Yeah, because San Juan's over in the east, and
correct.
There's some coming back in San Juan, I think, right?
They're having efforts. There's randomly a Starbucks in San Juan has the Wi-Fi, and a lot of people are able to message. But I just saw on Facebook a communication from my hometown of friends of mine who, by a good Samaritan with a satellite phone, was able to say that the family was okay. So that's the closest I've gotten to my family, but not yet. And I hope to hear from them soon.
It's interesting, when Irma hit Florida, we saw the reports that it was like 6 or 7 million people without power. It took a week and a half. In 1 week and a half, 99% were back. In Puerto Rico, it will still be in the millions, but it's fewer millions that are without. It's not 7 million, but it might take months to get back. I know you're not an electrician, but why?
It's around 3.5 million people that live on the island, and frankly, it's a lack of investment, and the infrastructure in Florida was much more newer. The investments there, I believe, were in the upwards of $3 billion. Puerto Rico needs upwards of $10 billion of investment just for the electric grid and infrastructure. And we lost 40 of the main power sources, if you will, not to mention all the interconnection is completely gone. So it's a lack of investments. And not to say that Puerto Rico had not asked for federal funding for those investments. It just had not happened. And now it's a good time to think of actually doing it right and putting the investments. The average, I believe, life of the system there was about 40 years old. When in the mainland in the U.S., it's about closer to 20.
Melissa Franzen with me, a DFL state senator from Edina, who grew up in Puerto Rico and was just there recently, just a few days ago. With her young infant child, in fact, as well. It was a mom and son trip, right? Because your husband and other child stayed behind. So in addition to a storm coming, you were mom traveling with newborn.
Yeah, it was. My husband was just a little anxious. He was ready to charter a plane, but I was there. My mother's birthday was that Thursday, too, so I wanted to surprise her, but I actually told her I was coming and then spent all the weekend with them, actually trying to purchase a property there and the bank. With obviously the storm, we weren't able to do that, which is the least of my concerns at this point. I just want to make sure to hear that they're okay.
You are actually going to be doing an event here up at noon, so in about 40 minutes over at the Landmark Center in St. Paul because there are several Puerto Ricans here in Minnesota, and Puerto Ricans of note, actually, people in leadership position, yourself, Rafael Ortega, who's a Ramsey County Commissioner, Javier Moreo, who's heads of union, SEIU 26. I mean, a lot of people. What is this network of Minnesota Puerto Ricans doing? Are you texting each other all day? What kind of efforts are you trying to undertake?
We're trying to coordinate. I mean, there's judges, there's company leads in Minnesota that have ties to Puerto Rico. So we're tapping into our entire network, and we're trying to coordinate efforts and get the word out and raise awareness that this is an extension of our family, an extension of the mainland of the U.S. We're not New York City or Chicago, but we have around 13,000 Puerto Ricans living in Minnesota as of the last census. And we're trying to coordinate efforts because we know our voices are powerful. And we, with our connections, we actually have the Sam Powell Foundation has stepped up to dedicate a fund, a Boricua fund, to givemn.org, where you can actually contribute up to $250, and that will be matched. We are certainly encouraged more. I'm tapping into my old network in my corporate life and trying to figure out if any other companies in Minnesota that have ties to Puerto Rico, like St. Jude, Medtronic. There's a lot of pharmaceutical companies down there and medical device companies. There's also Best Buy. You know, there's a lot of ties. So how can we coordinate efforts and certainly have a Minnesota call to action to do something with their resources that they have?
You know, you were tweeting a lot this week to remind people that people in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens, and I saw a tweet yesterday that says, look, we need to be focusing on this and thinking about the response in terms of when Texas got hit, what did we see on the ground? When Florida got hit, what did we see on the ground? It should be the same exact for Puerto Rico because it's part of the U.S. Do you know if that's happening? Do you know if that will happen? Is the awareness there that it will happen that way?
I personally don't believe it's happening. If we were a U.S. State, if we were in comparison, we'd be the 29th in terms of population and size. So if West Virginia or in Idaho or Nebraska, because that's the comparison, had 100% no power and no food and no water, I think we would have a different perspective
that's
of the response.
That's all we'd be talking about,
right? And this is an island that we can't drive to. So it's even more immediate and more dire, the circumstances there. So I don't think we're doing something, but I think this is why I'm here today, and I appreciate that you took the time to reach out because we need to raise that awareness that we need more help, any help.
What's your understanding of how FEMA in general responds to disasters like this, and is that model, whatever it is that going to work in the case of Puerto Rico?
Well, I've spoken to people who do this type of work in disaster relief, and FEMA operates in a way that they reimburse local government. Puerto Rico has $70 billion in debt. There's some municipalities that could not even fill the gas tanks with their fleet of vehicles that they need to help in the effort. I just read that yesterday. So it's a different circumstance. FEMA model will not work here. There's already a really strain in the economy.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what you're saying, just to say it out loud, is the FEMA model won't work because no one can spend the money right now to be reimbursed.
Correct.
That's what you're talking about.
Correct.
So what has to happen?
I would say, a big influx from the federal government. We certainly appreciate the president's declaration of disaster and when the work and efforts with the governor, Ricardo Rosselló is his son, working on that. And they're doing everything they can, but it needs to be an immediate response. And you know how I work in government. I know how we can slow things out. But when there's a big emergency, there's ways that we can heighten that and be more immediate.
So you're talking, I mean, Texas got that infusion pretty quickly when Congress returned. You know, we did all the stories about how it was tied into the debt ceiling and the budget, but you're talking about something like that.
Yes, and I reached out to our Minnesota local representatives in Congress, and I know that some others, like Representative Gutierrez from Illinois,
he's Puerto Rican,
has family actually in my grandmother's hometown.
Oh, really?
I know that they're trying, but it's also, again, raising the awareness that these are U.S. citizens that have fought in our nation and for our nation since World War I. So we have to know that we've also given that sacrifice and we need some help in the short time.
As this happens, you alluded to it a moment ago, Senator, Puerto Rico was also having its own political and financial crisis, more financial than, well, maybe political as well. You would know better than me. But something, I mean, there's all this public debt, and there's a lot of debates about managing money, et cetera. But one of the effects, I think it was last year that the Congress passed, was this board, this unelected board that basically runs, well, what does that, I guess it runs Puerto Rico, basically, right? Or it approves the funding and spending and things like that. Is that a, how is that going to play into what is now this on-the-ground disaster response crisis?
Well, the way it was explained to me, it's a sort of a Detroit model. Basically, what happened in Detroit is basically the setup that was in place in Puerto Rico. I would say it would probably have to be revisited because of the disaster of this magnitude that affects every single corner of the island. And the reality is different now than it was then. So I think when you talk about relief and a disaster relief, it becomes immediate. When you talk about dealing with a bankruptcy and a financial crisis, it could take more time to lift up. But I think, again, the federal government will have to take that into account. And I hope that they realize that this can't wait.
And recovery costs, I would presume, will be higher. Well, maybe not. I mean, do we know if recovery costs will be higher for Puerto Rico simply because it's an island? You have to get the stuff there in a different manner. Is that a true statement?
I would say it's fair. I tried to buy a generator down there literally last week, and the price and some appliances, and the prices are higher because you have to import them, and the different, you know, you have to, the transport and the shipping costs are larger. So that's just the reality of anything like any other state like Hawaii or Alaska.
Yeah. Well, with all the debt that it had, right, you were talking about how the FEMA model doesn't work because these local entities can't pay the money up front because they don't have any. Well, that's been the big debate in Congress, right? Do we give them a grant? Do we give them the money? Do we give, you know, people will use the word bailout, right? Do we just send a bunch of money down there to Puerto Rico to relieve some of this debt, or somehow, you know, do something where you cancel the debt? Does that question get revisited because of a disaster like this? Does Congress now have to solve the question of whether to bail out Puerto Rico on the financial debt side in order to address the disaster side? Or can you do those separately?
Well, I think they all have to be taken into account, but let's also talk about the private investment. I mean, there's major companies that have been, that do business in Puerto Rico that have a direct stake in the prosperity of the island and the rebuilding of the island. Again, companies like Best Buy that do business there that have retail shops, Walgreens, you know, U.S. companies that have big operations in Puerto Rico and big profits in Puerto Rico are going to be part of that conversation. And I would hope that, you know, I know that debt crisis, there's a lot of investors that were making a lot of money with the bonds and all that. I mean, it's a complicated issue, but certainly relevant. But the bigger scope of it, it's going to impact not just the bonds and the federal government, but also the private investment that's already there and is also going to look to the government to step up.
And the other side of that has been a complaint within that as Puerto Rico is in political crisis and financial crisis, Wall Street people can come in and buy a bunch of land and change the feel of the island and you know, I'm going to build a resort here someday or something like that. I don't know to what extent that exists, but is that a worry going forward now that the island's even more vulnerable?
Well, back to where we are today, most of the land is in underwater.
Yeah, true.
So right now, again, we need to look at today and the next few days of how we're going to recover and how we're going to get people safely out of those situations. Some people are trapped in their homes. So even before we look at putting more money and all that, people right now are hurting and are in crisis, and National Guards are going in and bringing supplies. So back to the reason I'm here is to raise awareness that we are going to need some financial support, but we're also going to need humanitarian support. And that's a bigger question. How can we get that help there as quickly and as efficiently as possible? And my call to action in Minnesota is that join us to coordinate, join us to give anything you can as a corporation, as a business, as a person. Every dollar counts. Do you have jets that you can bring down there as a corporate jet? Because I know companies have those. Is that a way that we can ship some goods there? Anything that you can think outside the box, we're going to need it.
So people should just call your office?
They can call my cell phone, 612-968-4566.
Wow. It's that dire.
It is.
How are you doing?
I'm One day at a time, frankly.
I can see it on your face. I appreciate you being here. Melissa Franzen, a state senator, is going to be at an event at noon as well to continue this call. Members of the Puerto Rican community in Minnesota, that'll be at the Landmark Center, so you'll probably see some news about that as well this afternoon. And again, I appreciate you being here, and we're going to hear from Maria Issa here as a little hat tip.
Excellent.